This meeting is now being recorded.
I was just talking about, you see, what is love. Everybody says, I love God, man. You see, I love my master, I love this. But what is love? Love is the fruit of a tree, you see. It is the ultimate goal, which develops, comes up within us. Whatever we start, there are other steps, we lead through love. If we love with all our, if we love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, heart is one or two. Heart is only one. You can only give it to somebody. If you give away your heart to somebody, then what remains to be given? You see? Then you'll think that way what he thinks, not your own. Keeping her anything, nor the least, you see. This is the ultimate goal. Lord Krishna said, O my disciple, heart is only one that Lord Krishna has taken away. Who else will love God, you see? That has already been given to the God in man. Then nothing remains to give to God now separately, you see. So first our heart should be, what you say, not broken into pieces. That should be summed up into one. When it is only, I mean complete, not broken into pieces, only then you can give. Our master once, you see, he was giving a talk, he said, all right, if any of you can give your heart, you just can go to heaven. One man stood up, well, I give my heart. Then so is heart in your control? Have you controlled your heart? Get to know that how can you give it? You can give only something which is in your control, in your possession. No, heart is led away by outgoing faculty. Here, there, everywhere. Well, that is, you see, concentrated. How can you live it? We have no control over our heart. Our heart is dragged away in so many ways. So I was just talking about love. You see, that is the ultimate fruit of a fruit tree. There are steps leading to that. So first step is, we have only, we wish, you see. We like to have something. It's only liking, not only wish. Heart is given only when you withdraw it from all outside things. And it is under your control. So there are steps leading to that. What we have got now, it is only we wish, we like, let it be done like that. You see? That is a better thing. But it is not yet done. That's right. So there are steps leading to that. The first step is, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are the commandments? You know, everybody knows. Love thy God with all thy heart. The word heart is there. With all thy heart, not pieces. Any heart which is cut into pieces, here, there and everywhere. So let it be complete first, you see. Only then you can hear. We love God only out of some liking or wishing, wishful thoughts, you might say. So first thing is also be my commandment. For instance, if you go, even the policeman in charge of the stop, even the president stops. That's order. If anyone whom you love, always stop them. Don't take further step. But do we keep his commandments? No. Then where is love? We hanker after love. We have wishful thoughts to have love. But we have not got love yet. That not even we have not laid the first stone of the building too. Foundation starts when you keep commandments. Then he says, all right, devote regular time to your meditation. Weed out all imperfection within you from day to day. He says, we have got no time to keep diary. What to speak of love, you see? We have not even started it yet. Further, if you wish to have thought with somebody, love with somebody, then it is told, you see, of one Majnu. He was a great lover of one Laila, you see. She was a princess. Once he was just, you see, what, hugging and just that the feet of a dog, he was just hugging and just with the mouth he was just giving love to the dog on his face and everything. People are, what are you doing? Are you going mad? Said, no, this dog, I have seen him sometime going in the street of my Laila, whom I love, you see. If we can love even dogs, going, just walking someday in the street in which his beloved, Laila was living. If we have love for somebody, for Master, say, for God, anybody who is going there, will naturally, to those who come to the Master, isn't it? We'll never find faults, criticizing. We'll just become humble. You see? And we love any, even the dogs who go there, just at their feet too. This is a symbol that you are growing love for your beloved, for your Master. Do we do? This is one of the symbols, I would say. Symptoms are symbols to show that you are having some love for somebody. These are the foundation stones, not love as yet, mind that. Love is giving away of your heart. Heart is one. When that is given away to somebody, then what does it mean? Even, I tell you, Maulana Rum says, when you accepted your Master once for all, even the Master, you see, even the Prophet and God both are there in him. They are not without him, they are one. That. So our respect goes to God. Once when we give where that God is manifested, is it just given to God or anybody? You understand, as I told you in the very beginning, love is the fruit of a tree. First we start with visual thoughts, liking, to have something. By comparative, say by discrimination, you see, or by reading scriptures, whom should we love? Soul should love God, because the conscious entity, it must go to all consciousness that is natural. It has been tied to the outer world, only things. Result is, we come and go again where we are attached. So if you want to have love for God, that everybody in his, I think, from his own level of thinking, he considers he is loving God. God we have not seen. God has manifested in somewhere at the even pole. You say we love him, then how the love of foundation stone will start from where? By keeping his commandments. First. Second. When you love somebody, even anybody who goes there and lives there, you love him too. We criticize. We sometimes fight. Even with those who are going there, with the work themselves, then where's the love for the Master and for God? These are the stepping stones. But there is further thing, something. This is the first thing. When you grow love for God or God-man, it's one and same thing. Naturally, you will have, what you say, at the heart of heart, you will be hankering to have Him. You see? You cannot forget, you would like to have somebody, the company of somebody who talks about Him. You see? His first-hand experiences, or who has been with Him. Naturally, that comes now. Further, you would like to be just near Him, as near as possible. Then even you are not there when somebody speaks of Him, your heart becomes full and overflows through your eyes. You see? These are symptoms that you are having love now. Not the fruit, these are the blossoms coming up, blossom coming up, which will turn into fruit. If the rain is expected, first you will have clouds. If there are no clouds, where is the rain? Where there are no blossoms, where is the fruit? You follow? So as I told you, love is the fruit. Everybody says, I love. Love can be only one idea, not two, three, four. That cannot be, heart can be split up into parts and give one here, one there, one there. No. So as I told you, these are the steps. One, keep the commandments. Second, weeding out all imperfections. Third, devoting time to the spiritual practices. Then have the company of somebody who just reminds you of your ideal. Avoid all others. Company of all others in whose society you are attached to the world or forget Him. You see? If you don't get such like society, better live all alone, all alone. Live with this Master speaking through books, through scriptures. It's better there. Then further, what the further symbol that you are having love now, dear, your heart, you will feel very separation. You see? You will be hankering to see Him. You always come like even you hear of Him, your whole hairs are in your body. Sensation like you feel. And further, even when you hear of Him, even then your heart becomes full and tears roll down from your cheeks. These are the symptoms showing that the fruit is nearing. These are blossoms. Ultimately, when fruit comes, you are for the Master, Master is for you. These are steps, you see. We have to now judge what we do. We cannot hear anything, you see, which is not according to scriptures, according to what God will say. Even against any propaganda, which we will carry out, you see. You follow now my point? We say love, we love God, we love our Master, this is all right. But where are the outer symptoms? How it starts? Love is only giving of your heart once for all. That heart cannot be retaken and given to somebody else. And that also we can give if the heart becomes under our control. We can't give. It is only a visual thought we are having here. We should have. So this is something very practical, if you have to wade through, I would say. That doesn't come in a day. Rome was not built in a day. That is, you develop direct company of the Master, or indirect, when you feel receptive to even a thousand somebody. This is way how to develop it. And time will come when you say, who is this man? Who is living in this world? Am I? You'll forget. You'll see your master in there. Even your hands will hold that his master hand, not yours. See? This is ultimate goal. You see, love is the ultimate fruit and the goal. That's why that God is love and love is God. We have not gone into the depths, I mean, what is love? We speak of love. Everybody has to speak of love. He knows he has got love for the Master, for God, etc. But where you stand, actually? One may say, I love God and just hates his brothers. I think Christ said once, yes, if you hate your brother, do not love your brothers. How can you say you love God whom you have not seen? Those you see, you have no love for him, you don't love him. How can you have love for him for whom you have not seen? You see? You follow my point? Just to watch, man can self-interest and see where I stand. I know what is making for my own after this life. Everybody knows. If simply he taps inside. He unravels himself like a strict judge where we stand. Can we boldly say, I love my Master, love my God? So if this is done, this I give peace everywhere, at homes, in societies, in countries, all the world over. But this love knows. There are different aspects I'm talking of. Yesterday another aspect, day before another aspect, today is another aspect. So from today you should judge where you stand. Are you really loving God? Are you really on the way to love God? Are you not really loving God? Even if you are on the way leading to love, then it's all right. That you can get better in your actions. Not talk. As I told you, that starts only from the ABC starts from keeping his commandments. When you love him, those who go to him, that you love for them. When you have more love for your master, or if the dog going there, you must lick their feet. These are the symbols, you see, symptoms to show that we are beginning to love God our Master, or what is love. So first of all, it commences with keeping commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And those you who come here, don't be, I mean, really, your love lies in the fact you must be of service to others. You see, those who hate love God and hate brothers and other creations, how can they love God? It is only mere talk, lip talk. Go into the depths and find out where you stand. That's all right. तो मैं ये कह रहा था आप भाई बहनों ने समझा भाई प्रेम किसको कहते हैं कहां से शुरू होता है प्रेम नहीं बना प्रेम तब हो जो दिल साबत हो तो किसी को दे वो तो सवाल नहीं अभी ये अपने इख्तियार में नहीं जिसे कहां से शुरू होता है पहले कहना मानते उसका कहना मानता अब तो उसके इशारे पर चलो न भी कहे उसके इशारे पर चलो एक पिता अपने बच्चों को क्या चाहता है कि वो प्यार से रहे ए फादर विशेज ऑल चिल्ड्रन बी ऑल लिविंग एमिकेबली लविंग ईच अदर सैक्रिफाइसिंग वन सेल्फ फॉर देम देमसेल्फ फॉर देम दिस इज फर्स्ट थिंग टू शो इवन दोज़ हू कम वेदर दे आर द डिसिपल्स आर नॉट इवन दे लव देम टू So that is how this is the beginning of growing into love, I would say. That's a much better word, you see. So my prem sikhata kena manna. Kena manna. Aaj se manna. Sunte rahe na, baatein sunte rahe na, kaam nahi banayi. It cannot be said that you have got so many, much information in your brain that won't help you. Unless you put into practice, you live up to it. Do sajivan saaf rakho. Bhajan roz karo. Jo vaad hai ghanimat samjho, jo kaam karna hai wo ye ghanimat samjhe ki Parmatma ne tumko chuna us kaam ke liye. You are the chosen few who have been selected for this, to serve the master, director. You see? Aapko to pyar hona chahiye. प्यार किस बात में है? एक ही काम के लिए काम कर रहे हो तो प्यार से करो. अगर कोई एक दूसरे को तो प्यार से समझा दो. सत्कर्म भी जाती है, निवृत्ता है, प्यार भरी लफ्स हो, वो वैश्य बन जाता. आसमानों पर तो होगा, देयर मे बी हेवन ऑन ओर्थ एनीवेयर एल्स, बट यू कैन क्रिएट हेवन हियर बाय लिविंग हम्बली, सिंपली, लविंगली, यू सी, एट द फीट ऑफ द मास्टर. Kabir once said, you see, he said, I went to the house of my father, you see, went there and found father was not there. And when he came to know where he is, he living in the saints on the earth, going to their feet, you see. So you can create heaven on earth, you see. Let thy kingdom come on earth. What is meant by that, you see? That can come only. If you live up that way, now decide by comparing it. Go into your heart where you stand. Boasting won't do. They prove by your action. Satsang mein aane ka matlab yehi khali padh chhodna kaafi nahi. Ye baatein zyada explain karni padti. Ye to kitabon mein hai, reference are there in the book. But not so clarified position, you see, which you have now. Well, more of this you cannot put in details in the books too. Many things are wrought by attention. The very attention words given with attention, you see, that go to the heart. So, excuse me if I say that books won't help you. You see? Living book will help you. The master is the living book. That's all. My son, jo sunte ho usko mano. Phir live karo. Phir jo se janam ke paav jubo. Wohi mo samjha, aapko ye seva di gayi. Milka. You're all in the body. Those have been chosen few for that. Why not all the world over? Those who have been chosen, they are fortunate. They should worthy, prove worthy of the being chosen, you see. You chune gaya unko us baat ko sabit karna chahiye ki wo bade bhagshali hai, ki wo chune ne kaam ke liye. We are all working for one common cause. And that common cause of God, not of any society or any country, you see. Yehi baatein samajhna hai. Jitna apne jeevan mein tum usko लाओगे उतना सुख हो जाए. यू वोंट, मेरा ख्याल इस हेवन को छोड़कर यू वोंट लाइक टू लीव द हेवन एट द फीट ऑफ द मास्टर गो टू अनदर हेवन अबाउट यू. तो गॉड इज आइस द कंपनी ऑफ द सेंट्स. आपने समझा बात भाई, फिर समझाने की जरूरत ना रहे. Republic, you see, Republic government. Today is the day of independence, which is being celebrated by our good gay and ancestor, you see. So, Republic means government of the people, by the people, for the good of the people. That's the true sense of the word. The day of we have seen, fortunately, but really, the state has not come in, practically. The old system, old setup is there. Men have been dubbed in, excuse me, why they don't. But unless they become independent of all self-interest, only they can, I think, work for the independence of others. Man is one who lives for the good of the others with no self-interest, or maximum good he can give to the public at large. So unless a man is like that, how can that true independence come? So this independence should start from self. Are we independent? First of all, no. We are bound by mind. Mind is dragged in by outgoing faculties, and our faculties are drawn by the outward enjoyment. For self-interest, self-enjoyment. How can such a man can think of the independence of the people? If such like people gather together, who have got freedom, independence from outward thraldom, I would say. Only such people can think of how independence can come up. So I was just at many occasions to talk on the same platform that Shastri Prime Minister tells you to give talks. Even now I'm invited to give talks over there. So Shastri and other people used to say, had there been Gandhi here, what you would have done in this matter? So I would give him my talks always, and now you need the guidance of some spiritual man. What to do? What's the way out? Who can think that? Who himself is not bound by any self-interest? Only such people can think of the good of the people at large, you see. So I was giving an instance of the 10th guru of the Sikhs, you see. For guidance, he says, your scriptures are there. Past masters speaking through books. To understand those scriptures, you need somebody who got that very independence. They have known themselves by extricating themselves from the bondage of mind, matter, and outgoing faculty. They are really, in two senses, of the word, free. They are saying what they said. That is the guiding principle. And now we need somebody who can give us the right interpretation of those people. How can he give if he still the thraldom of the bondage of outgoing faculty? We are dragged like anything. Our soul is just under control of mind, and mind is controlled by outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are drawn irresistibly by the outward enjoyments. So that self-independence or freedom starts from the self. Though they have freed themselves from all these outward attachments, self-interest, you might say, in one word. Only such a man can think of him, giving freedom to others, equal rights to others. So I was just thinking of 10th Guru of the Sikhs. He said, for guidance you got all these scriptures, Pashwar speaking through books. But unless such people meet us who have got that freedom, they cannot give you the right interpretation of the master what they spoke. The final record of which are with us in this form of the scriptures. And also, they are free. Those who are free, only they can understand the true import of the master what they said in the past. So what is the guidance that you can have freedom of self first? When such people gather together, they can truly think of the independence of others. You see? So I told you that this independence starts from our own independence by the minds and our own faculty. If such people sit together, they can think of the good of all the world over. So what he said of this, as I told you, he said, for guidance are there the scriptures before you, but to understand those scriptures in the right, in the true sense, you need somebody who has got that freedom. Such a people gather together. can think well of the Buddha consciousness, the freedom of Buddha. So he set up three things. One, independence of soul, mind and matter. Just enable the soul to withdraw from outside, from outward attachments and dragging, I would say, by the enjoyments of the outer things.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was from the Morning Talks recordings, and it was from CD 9, and it was entitled, What is Love? And then some of a recording called Real Independence, both recorded in January 1968. Our reader this morning is Rudy Cascone. Good morning, Rudy.
Oh, hi, David.
Hi, Rudy. Good morning. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Today's talk is from Master's three books, The Teachings of Kirpal Singh, and I'm reading from the second book, Self-Introspection and Man-Making, starting on page 5. Self-Introspection and Man-Making. There are basically two stages to be gone through before the struggling disciple rises above body consciousness and begins to enjoy the spiritual disciplines and to firmly tread the path of spirituality. The first stage, where the disciple has little or no knowledge of self-introspection and is in a state of abysmal ignorance. The second stage is when the disciple begins to realize that he has innumerable faults and failings which must be corrected before he can hope to rise above body consciousness, at which state this path really begins. This second stage, which is for most a long, drawn-out struggle with lower tendencies of the mind, is known as man-making. Spirituality arising from the lower realms of existence to the higher realms of untold bliss and harmony is not difficult. It is the man-making which is difficult. There is no specific time limit for this second stage. It all depends on the disciple's aptitude for self-discipline, obedience to the commandments of the Master, and developing a love for him. It is the self-assertive ego which is the last obstacle to be conquered, and this cannot be done until the soul begins to come into its own, has some glimmerings of its true nature, which has the result of developing in the disciple a natural humility. This is not to be confused with an attitude of servility, mind you. True humility has strength, but is nevertheless non-assertive. Although the gracious Master power is ever at hand to help the disciple in this struggle, it is something which the disciple must go through himself. Nobody else can do this for him. You have been put on the way and have been given some capital to start with, which still exists with you. A seed has been planted in you, which one day must surely fructify, and you will have as your constant companion the Master in his subtle form of light and sound. He is also quite capable of manifesting to you in his charming radiant form when you have learned to rise above body consciousness. This is not reasonable. It is not reasonable to expect to attain to a higher planes, to the higher, without first perfecting yourself to a great degree. As in worldly studies, in which it is not unusual to spend 20 years or more to obtain the necessary qualifications to fit yourself for a career, so even greater is the time and effort that must be put in by the disciple before he can be made a fit vessel to receive the truths of his own soul and of God. It is a very odd outlook that some have to expect self and God realization in a short time and with little labor, while the same people are willing to toil for years to obtain a pot of porridge That is all this world has to offer. In no other expression but the human form can the soul realize God. The gods and goddesses are anxious to get the human form, and it means only that the human form is the highest in all creation due to its great spiritual possibilities. I would stress the importance of self-introspection, for which the maintenance of the diary has been prescribed. A keen vigil and careful living is an essential helping factor for inner progress. A disciplined life, by having complete control over the senses which feed the mind, which in turn overpowers the soul, should be cherished. The inner divine links of light and sound are most helpful for controlling the senses. If you will follow these divine principles, the inner change of life will follow automatically. Truth is above all, but higher still is true living. Adopt a righteous way of life and be content. You may have certain desires, but stop there. Don't increase them. Then reconsider the desires and where they will take you, what lies ahead, and what will you take with you. We are hurrying, scurrying through life. We are not even conscious of what we are doing most of the time. So the Guru advises us to handle all our affairs with tranquil serenity. When one undertakes to reach a certain goal in any field of human activity, it is necessary to take stock of one's progress from time to time. It is only through such stock-taking that one can become conscious of one's shortcomings and errors, eradicate and uproot them, and plan out future progress. Having put our shoulders to the wheel of the great master's cause, it is necessary that we should, in like manner, review our activity and achievement from time to time. Without such self-analysis and self-criticism, no real advancement is possible, and it was to encourage this practice and make it a daily habit that, in the case of individual initiates, I insisted and continue to insist that they maintain a daily record of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and of the period of meditation. What is necessary for us as individual initiates is even more necessary for us as members of a large movement. One must first think of the result before doing, even contemplating, any deed. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and a danger foreseen is half avoided. One who is forewarned is forearmed. Everything will be given to you in due course of time if you follow His behests and live up to what He says. Every day you are given tasks which are intended to help your spiritual growth. Unfortunately, most people look for a very special assignment to be given them by the Master, personally, before they accept it as a task from the Master. They do not see that their daily day-to-day dealings and behavior with other people in their work, the responsibilities they have to assume in their other mundane duties, and how well they fulfill them, are all tasks given by the Master. If you watch closely your reaction to situations that confront you in life, you cannot but be aware of how much you have grown spiritually. This is the most important part of spirituality as far as the disciple is concerned. He must first complete his course in man-making with full honors before he can be given higher tasks to carry out. Every thought, every word, every deed, good or bad, leaves an indelible imprint on the mind and has to be accounted for. Hence, the necessity for right thoughts, right aspirations, and right conduct, all of which constitute a hedge around the tender sapling of spirituality. What constitutes desire? All conceptions in the mind are desires. So, be desireless. You will have noticed that when an obstacle blocks the achievement of one's desire, anger arises. Then there is pride. I must have this or do this, otherwise I will be belittled in the eyes of others. One can accept pride as being the basis of all sins, for it turns into I-hood. He recommends us to leave off perversity or stop being obstinate. Always be sure to listen to the other person's point of view. You may find that what he is saying is correct. Perversity just binds a person more. There is no room for expansion. Dogmatic knowledge of books, for instance, which might be right or wrong, should be discarded. It goes without saying that all attachments should be broken away. You must finish up the give and take. You must leave the body and all its environments. If any obstacle becomes you and your desires, it grows even stronger. Just put a large rock in the middle of a fast-flowing stream, and you will create two things, froth and noise. When a man is angry, he cannot speak softly, and finally he froths at the mouth. If you do get the thing you desire, it turns into attachment. There is only one cure for all this. Only after seeing your true self can you realize the Lord. Millionaires will leave their millions behind. Those who have mud huts will leave them. This body did not come with you, and you will not and will not accompany you when you return. Yes, you will take your actions with you. Is there anything else required to become united with the Lord? Sadhuchar, right living is most essential. The mind that is running amok in bad outer influences must be brought to heel. Only then can any real progress be achieved. Our greatest obstacle is that the soul is under the mind's control, and the mind in turn is under the senses' control. So release from this bondage is hastened by living righteously. We receive impressions from outside through the eyes, ears, the tongue, by smelling, and by touch. So we must have self-restraint. Such a man can only progress from day to day by regularity and also by self-introspection. This is most important. Your very soul, the outer expression of which is called attention or surat, if engaged outside, makes it impossible for you to see within. With all this right understanding, what develops? Right thought, and furthermore, right speech, and out of that, right actions will follow. If you can do this, if you can conquer the self and surrender it at the feet of the Master, if you can learn to see Him working through all things, if you can accept the fact of your own limited vision, if you can undertake a ceaseless and zealous watch over your thoughts and deeds, weeding out all evil and imperfections, then you shall not only win salvation for yourselves, but enable others to do likewise. Your example shall shine like a torch in the darkness, and men, even those who may first oppose you, will turn to you for guidance and help. You will find a new sense of peace surging through you, a peace that does not depend on the absence of outer disturbances, but is an inner state of mind that stands unshaken, even in the most tempestuous situations. And this same quality shall enter not only your individual lives, but the larger life of the great spiritual movement of which you are a part. Attachment. The human body is the temple of God, and in order to attain super consciousness, one has to withdraw from all physical attachments. So long as we remain identified with external objects, we cannot assume a subtle form. All masters say that when you have got a man body, the highest thing is to attach yourself to God. Wherever you will be attached, there you will go. You have been coming to the world again and again. The reason is because you are not attached to God. Otherwise, you would have gone to God. So keep your diaries and eliminate all foreign thoughts from your heart. Our heart is at present divided. It should have no other thought except him to whom you want to be devoted. So generally, what do? We get something to start with and fritter it away by being attached to outside. The father will be pleased with the child who has made the best use of what has been given him. If he becomes an honest man to be relied on, he will be given more and more. We find people who say, "We were very well off before, but not now." But why not now? We have made beggars out of our own selves. So we have to be careful. Self-introspection is most necessary. Those who do not keep it, their capital will be dwindled away. Now you see how important it is to maintain self-restraint. Make use of something when you want it. Now you are dragged irresistibly to outside things. You have to live in the world quite detached. And when you want to use one faculty, use it. When you want to leave it, leave it. It is not so with you now. For that purpose, you are given a contact with the light and sound principle within you. When you get more bliss there, your outward attachments will be cut off. A man who is really detached from the world is not affected by it. Renunciation truly lies in the fact that we are not tied to the world, to anything outside. A man who has got love within him, love of God, is attached to God so much that all other things leave his mind and he is not attached to anything else. A heart that is not attached to the world never thinks of worldly things. One who does not show failures under the different headings and who has a pure heart, then God must sit in it. He is already there, but he will become manifest. Self-control and the importance of being self-centered. So the important thing is to first learn to handle your outer environment consisting of your domestic and working life, or to be judged. We are to be judged by our actions and not by our words. It is from the abundance of our heart that all actions result, whether physical, emotional, or intellectual. The mind is the index and reflecting mirror, and it truly depicts one's inner state. A measure of success of how well you are succeeding in handling your outer environment will be a gradual awareness that you are becoming the master of your own thoughts. It is to achieve this success that I introduce the self-introspective diaries. How many really keep their diaries properly? Very few, if any, I'm sorry to say. If the diaries were to be taken advantage of, you would see a change in your behavior, your mode of thinking, and consequently, you would progress spiritually by leaps and bounds. The purpose of the diary is to reflect your own inner state so that you know where you stand. It is a tool which, if used properly, will chisel you into a receptacle fit for the manifestation of the Master within you. You should put just as much devotion and attention into keeping your diaries as you put into your meditations. Unfortunately, few, if any, have any idea what keeping the diary really means. As time passes, their entries become a mere matter of form, and the whole purpose behind keeping the diary is lost. We are asked to maintain a diary in thought, word, and deed. How many of us really do so? The majority just react in thought, word, and deed to the stimulus of the moment. In other words, instinctively. The truth of the matter is that we must become consciously aware of every thought that passes through the mind. We must weigh our words before we speak and not speak idle words as a mere reaction to the situation that confronts us. If we are able to make some progress in this regard, then we will be far on the way to controlling ourselves. This in essence is the practice of Raja Yoga. Only when we have advanced far in the practice of living the life demanded of us, as implied in the keeping of the diary, will we become fit enough to reap the fruits and the practices of this Surat Sabd Yoga. One can gauge his or her spiritual progress by the measure of conscious control that he has or she has over his or her thought patterns. One who has in some measure achieved this control will not be swayed or upset by outer conditions, stresses, and strains that his environment may place on him. If one cannot rise above, be in full control of, and handle with ease the circumstances of his outer environment, he will never be able to succeed in the way of spirituality. To gain control of one's being, to bring one's whole life under the perfect control, to help oneself to cut away from outer attractions, requires self-introspection. Start by consciously controlling a small fraction of your life. You will be able to succeed if you are also enjoying a little inner intoxication of nam. All masters say there's no success without meditation. It is we who give power to the mind. It is we who give power to the outgoing faculties. It is we who see good or bad outside. If we become self-centered, we may make the best use of our outgoing faculties however we like. Unless you become self-centered, you cannot avoid the influence of others. We derive effects from outside, and wherever our attention goes, we are affected by the radiation of those with whom we come in contact. If they are pure, well, that's all right. If not, you get their radiation. Victory over the mind is victory over the world. You have been granted the yardstick for measuring your spiritual attainments in the form of an introspective diary, and you can surely judge things for yourself and see how far you have advanced on the path. Man-making precedes spirituality. Unless and until you become the master of all the five senses, appreciable inner progress cannot be made. Control of kama, desire, anger, greed, attachment. This play is loved by the Lord. Calm attacks through the eyes, anger through the ears. Attachment comes through embracing. Rise above all these and you will gain connection with the truth. The recurring failures in various columns of the diary show that you remain too much engrossed in worldly affairs, which should be reduced by keeping yourself immersed in the divine grace. Silence, solitude, and serenity should be cultivated by living a life full of spiritual discipline, as enjoyed by the Master. You can cut short unnecessary engagements and wild pursuits by keeping your spiritual goal in front, in your forefront. A well-regulated life earns rich dividends. Every action has a reaction. Every act of omission or commission has an appropriate penalty. We cannot escape from sin as long as we consider ourselves as born of the flesh, for flesh is the root cause of all evils in the world. Until a spirit learns to leave the sensual plane at will, enjoyments and distractions do thrive like a bay tree. Every day brings in a new life full of vast opportunities. You must not apprehend any fears whatsoever, and instead try to harness your faculties for attaining the goal of spiritual perfection. Take and accept life with all its vicissitudes in easy terms of joy and buoyancy. Just face the situation bravely with mental equipoise and stability. The tree of life reared in storms yields more of cool shade and rich fruit. Failures should serve as stepping stones to success. It is persistent effort which overcomes all difficulties. Change your ways. O man, it is time now to discard your old disreputable habits and adopt new ones. Habits are formed by repeatedly doing the same things, so we should first unravel all bad actions, lies, hypocrisy, cheating, criticism of others, enmity, avarice, malice, backbiting, and various others. If you do not intend to change these ways, what's the use of attending satsang? Your steps are forward, but your mind is retrogressing. Satsang is the means of making us into something beautiful, but not by merely repeating God's name. Change your habits now into good ones, for habits turn into nature with time. Cast away all negative thoughts and instill positive ones in their place. If a person does wrong, forgive him, and he in turn should forgive your misdeeds. In the Quran, it is written, even God has no thought for him who has no inclination to change. How can we expect other people to show excellent examples? If we ourselves would change, the whole world would change with us. It is a message for all. One of the worst habits is that of criticizing others. All virtues exercised in righteous living are good, but that of ahimsa paramo dharma, dharam, non-violence of thought, is the highest. It can become a daily habit, for it lies inherent within us all. And although other thoughts are there, yet consciously or unconsciously it is working and will rise to the surface one day. That is why you are frequently told in satsang that the past is the past, forgive and forget, and do not make a foundation of bad thoughts, or there will undoubtedly be reactions. You will be the loser, for again you will revolve on the cycle of births and deaths. So with love, the masters encourage their children to change their habits while there's still time. Man is a conscious being and has been given the faculty of discriminating right from wrong. Where a man falls short in his discriminatory ability, he has the golden opportunity of approaching some master who can give guidance and right understanding on the subtle points of his behavior and actions. The sacred books that have been written by the Master cover every faucet of spirituality and should be studied with a view to clarify how one should act in daily life. Other literature has also been issued on the same subject, and the booklet entitled Seven Paths to Perfection should be carefully read by you for the purpose of knowing the ennobling virtues to be developed as opposed to the failures to be avoided, which are given in the diary form. You may take the virtues given in this booklet and the failures to be avoided as given on the diary forms to be your blueprint for living. The result, the rest is up to you. This blueprint can be successfully applied to any situation that may arise in life, and as such, there's no need to write to the master on every situation, when a little self-honesty and application of common sense will show you the right course of action. You should know it for certain that you are divine in all respects and are the master of your destiny, which is full of higher potentialities. You are simply to make exertion to change for the better and firmly stick to your resolutions. All else will follow of itself, as the gracious master power is at your side to extend all feasible help, grace, and protection. The more one aspires to weed out imperfections by daily introspection, the more serene bliss and grace come from above. Patience and selflessness are ennobling virtues. Right understanding is the basis of all happiness. You should not worry about the past or new karmas. If at every moment you are consciously watching your behavior, a calm consideration will replace a blind instinctive reaction to certain situations in life, where the choice lies between committing a lapse in behavior or avoiding it. You should guard against the five deadly sins of desire, anger, greed, infatuation, and vanity, and develop instead the virtues of truth, chastity, non-injury, universal love, and selfless service. The paths leading to worldly enrichment and to God lie far apart. One can either take either of the two as one may like. The mind is a single entity linking the body with the soul at one end and the body and the world and riches at the other. Thus, one has of necessity to choose between the two alternatives. Once the die is cast, one has perforce to apply oneself steadily to reach the goal, whatever it be. In short, the sincere and conscientious aspirant will reorient his entire mode of life in eating, drinking, thinking, acting, and feeling. He will gradually weed out of his mind all irrelevant and unhealthy desires until he gradually attains a state of purity and simplicity that marks the child. Well, here I'll stop, and thank you, Master, for your words of wisdom, and thank you all for listening.
And thank you, Rudy, for reading for us. You tell us again what you were reading this morning?
Yes, I'm reading from The Teachings of Kirpal Singh, Volume 2, Self-Introspection and Meditation, beginning on page 5.
Okay, thank you. We had 88 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.